and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. Conrad reckons I should mix up the starts, but I'm not going to. Traditional, that's me. You say hello, you say Fool's Daily, you say hello, Conrad.
Hello, Mike.
And then we get into the subject. What subject are we talking about today, Conrad?
We're talking about the fact that, despite the fact that you play Malifaux, I play Malifaux, I play Hordes and War Machine, on the back of the recent episode that we talked about with the potential dawn of 9th edition fantasy coming along, and following a recent game of War and Conquest that I had, that I still have a yearning to play mass combat systems in some way, shape or form. And even though I enjoy the skirmish sort of games and gaming in general, it's, I think, not having that mass combat system to go back to all the time has potentially driven me to try out other game systems. And we're in a situation where we may have too many. It's great fun and everything, but are we missing something going back to our roots in terms of, you've come from Fantasy Battle, I've come from Fantasy Battle, and I still have that requirement for playing a big tabletop game as such.
Right, okay. I must admit, when I saw you playing the photos of your game the other day, I did think, oh, that looks so cool.
It was, that's the thing.
Though you were playing Persians, so didn't that mean you just stood all your troops there and went for toying with your arrows?
Well, yes, but I mean, the beauty, as has been mentioned in the past, in a previous Fool's Daily, the good thing about War and Conquest is you end up with these pockets of battles around the place. So it really adds to the flavour and feeling of it, of the whole game. You know, whether you're standing there and shooting, or as my opponent Dave did, he was doubling to try and close the gap as quickly as possible so that his phalanxes could hit my ranks of less superior troops, you know, inferior troops to him. But it really
all
gets...
the time you were going, fatoying, fatoying, fatoying.
Well, I wasn't. I was going like that. Like that. Because you got to do the sound effects as well. But it was that whole experience of tabletop, you know, the mass combat again. I like 40. I never was a big 40k fan, but I dabbled in it a bit. You know, I had first edition, and I think I played in third with my Necrons. But they never ever seemed to me to be. Didn't seem to be a mass tabletop game. So, which is why I really enjoy Epic. It has the 40k flavour, and you can play this huge sweeping game with lots of six, you know, as Dave says it and Spoon says it, God's own scale sort of thing. So again, it's a mass combat system. It's lots of stuff.
Yeah, so here's what the question boils down to for me. Is it that we like to see lots and lots of toys on the table?
The skirmish and the tabletop, the mass combat stuff, give you two separate things, I think. But ultimately, it is toys on the table. But, I mean, going back to when you first started out wargaming, you know, it's those sorts of films where you see masses of troops on the table and they're sort of, they've got their croupier sticks or whatever, sort of moving stuff around.
Yep.
That sort of idea. Oh, we'll just put them over here and we've got a flank over there. Call the reserves. All that sort of feeling of was where I've come from. And seeing the big units of troops on the table with the movement is, so I get something different from that experience to a skirmish game. Which is, seems to be a bit more, you know, especially Malifaux, it's more character driven, more single figures sort of thing, you know. And I miss it. And when we were talking about Ninth, I miss Fantasy Battle.
I possibly did get some scaven out of the cabinet and go, Soon, my pretty, soon.
But again, the guy I played, Dave Toon, his name is Dagenham Dave, as he used to be called in the wargaming arena, as it were. He still plays eighth, and he loves it. You know, he loves it because it's not about my army competitively trying to smash your army. It's about those fantasy books that you've read about where, you know, Battle of the Five Armies, as I've said in the past, is my typical scenario of a mass combat fantasy battle or whatever, you know, whatever your reference material is. But it has that whole feeling of big beasts, crazy magic, you know, stuff happening that is not meant to happen but happens, that tips the scale of the battle, you know. And I've got my dwarf army book out.
Okay, so all right, so this is interesting because this leads to something that I've been thinking about quite a lot, and it relates to tournaments and whether people can separate the two types of gaming.
Here we go, and I think this is something I discovered big time last year with having been involved in the Hordes War Machine sort of scene and the competitive gaming scene in general for such a long time. I've potentially had enough of that in terms of, but I still enjoy it, but
right.
I want the social side of things from a competition point of view. You still want to have a good game because it is still a battle of wits, essentially. And there's thought that has to go into the game in terms of playing it to try and outmaneuver, outplay your opponent within the confines of the rules, as it were, and the flavour of the game and everything. There's still that element because it is, you know, it's a game with two players generally. But it's not the be all and end all, you know. The part of it is also the craziness that happens, you know. One of my friends, when he is down on his luck, he slowly winds himself up, and then at a particular point, you must have come across people like that or have experienced it yourself. There's two ways you can go. You can either completely blow up and explode, or you can start laughing about it. And this is what he does. He just ends up, well, we both end up laughing, even though you've got that nervous look and interaction between players where you sort of, well, is he going to go bad, or is it going to, you know, is he going to get really flustered about it? And then you just end up, there's that side of things, and then there's the other craziness. You know, something happens, a dice roll is made where you need a double six, and it's spectacular at that point in time. Probably,
yeah.
Even though you may be on the losing end of it. So there's that element to the game as well.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly agree. I mean, I really like playing 8th edition Fantasy Battle. As is straight out of the book. I occasionally look at the comp systems and things that are in play these days in tournaments.
Which is a legacy that we've left behind to a certain extent, if you think.
Well, yeah, I mean, do you remember the fights that we used to have about comp?
Yeah, WPS comp, when it first came out, was John Snape and John Dale headed up most of it with, yeah, you know, the likes of Marcus, Pitt and other, you know, big names, as it were, on names is in inverted commas, in the wargaming community, you know, the fantasy battle community or whatever. But comp in itself caused such a huge issue, and then it disappeared, and then people realised that we were right in the first place, essentially, and that it was needed to try and have trying to level the playing field as such a little bit. And that's where we've come up from. You know, I've come up from having fun fantasy battle games in my friend's bedroom or my bedroom or on the carpet or whatever, to going to, oh, I get to play the game, but in a competitive manner, but not actually understanding the whole competition side of things. And then you get on this treadmill of trying to do better and better sort of thing, to going back to this is a game. You know, I want it to be a game. I want to get some enjoyment out of it in terms of the feeling of it, that feeling of enjoying the spectacle of it.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I'm with you 100%. I wonder if it's an age thing or maybe more an era thing. You know, what era you got into playing the games.
Yeah.
Games
have become a lot cleverer and smarter, I feel. Some games are becoming a lot cleverer and smarter, you know, in terms of mechanics, and they're trying to hit different levels of sort of using your brain and interaction and being clever about the game. So there is that element of it as well. But throwing a bucket load of dice, there's still some satisfaction out of that, you know.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, so what do you want? I mean, I suppose that's the next question. I mean, do you want a resurgence of mass battle games?
No, I mean...
Because to be honest, I mean, let's be serious. There's one player in the mass battle game market, and then there's another player that is so far behind that when we were at Adepticon, the championship to win $1,000, only three players turned up.
Well, when you're talking rule sets and but there is a figure manufacturer, I suppose, but it is so far behind as well. You're right. I don't think I want anything other than to have the ability to potentially grab a hold of that experience again. So I'm probably going to.
Does this mean that you're going to get a Warhammer 8th edition army book, a rule book?
I already have one, to be fair. I mean, I was not going to go through 8th without grabbing a hold of a rule book, and I bought one of the A5 rule books off eBay many years ago, probably two right. years ago, I think. But I did, on the back of watching a game at the club, go out and buy the Dwarf Army book, because I thought, I've always had a Dwarf Army book. This is a nice book.
Yep.
It's got some nice reference material, just as in previous GW books. So I think I should just buy that, because essentially I've always done that, you know. I've always been a Dwarf player as such. But I do believe that I will get an 8th edition game in at some point this year, and actually experience 8th for the first time, even if I don't like it. But I think I need to be able to have that feel of getting a fantasy battle out, army out as such.
Right. And
but you've done that already.
I have. And I don't do it very often, but I do occasionally get an 8th edition army out. Where do you think it leaves skirmish games? No, let's rephrase. So skirmish games are incredibly popular at the moment.
Yes. And there's a reason behind that, isn't there? I believe.
Low investment.
And that's money and time, I think.
Yeah, they are more modern game systems, yep. So they don't use a you-go-I-go system.
Necessarily, yeah, absolutely.
So there is, or there can be, the feeling that you're more involved in the game, because the gaps between you doing stuff is shorter.
Yep.
And they tend to be scenario/objective-driven games.
Which is another great thing that's come out of, you know, the modern glut of games, as it were, because just throwing down and having a fight, let's face it, it gets boring sometimes, you know. Throwing in scenarios into a fantasy battle game, or having a narrative campaign in a fantasy battle game, make the game a lot more interesting. You become invested in it a bit more.
So where does it leave? Where does that leave the mid-level game?
I think we're very lucky in that we have the choice, and you can dabble around and dip in and out into things when and where you want to. You know, you talked about Dead Man's Hand. How many games of Dead Man's Hand have you had this year?
5 or 6.
Oh, all right. Okay, that's more than I thought. How many games of Epic have you had this year?
2.
How many games of Saga have you had?
This year?
Yep.
1.
But can you see the pattern? You'll dip, you can dip. So your main game, I would suggest, is Malifaux, because I didn't ask that. How many games of Malifaux have you had?
I have no idea. You know, loads. I mean, we played, 20 at Adepticon.
Well, this is it. So your main, the game that you get the most out of is Malifaux.
Oh, 100%, yeah. It's the game that I enjoy painting for the most and playing the most.
But unlike in your early 20s, there's a connection that nobody will ever get anymore because we didn't finish that recording. Your main game was Fantasy, I'm guessing.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, my main game was Fantasy until 3 or 4 years ago.
So what's changed over that time?
I fell out of love with the competitive scene.
Yeah. So I think Jervis said it in a White Dwarf article. I don't always quote it to have said it, you know, creating the whole competitive scene from a GW perspective was probably the worst thing that he could have done. And I agree with him to a certain extent. There's two types of gaming, is what I believe. There's a competitive gaming where you should expect to have a competition, you know, and people may be gregarious or over competitive or, dare I say it, bend the rules, cheat or whatever. In that
smell.
Yeah, smell. And then there is event gaming where you're going along to have some fun. And yes, there may be an element of competition in there thrown in, but it's really about experiencing the flavour of the game and the period itself. The Grand Melee that I went to earlier this year, I think it's a classic example of that, where I got to play Saga for a day. I could have paid for 2 days if I'd gone for the 2 days.
Yeah.
You know,
we haven't realised.
Yes. I just think that's where we're at with the gaming now. You know, that's where I am. I don't necessarily want to go to as many Hordes and War Machine events, but there are events that I will still support. I went to the Welsh Open, and I went to that because I know that I'm going to have a good time on the social side of things. It's very much like going to Adepticon to a certain extent. You've got all that sideline stuff outside, you know, going for the pizza, whatever, going to Binnie's.
Yeah.
And we've got an Epic Day coming up, and I'm really looking forward to that because I'm going to get to play Epic. I suppose from a competitive gamer point of view, you've got to accept that you're necessarily going to be good at any one of those games, but you're going to get the enjoyment out of it, and it should balance it and hopefully placate you in terms of the fact that you're getting your gaming buzz.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting question. I mean, it's one of those things, because it's not competitive gaming that I fell out of love with. Because, you know, look how many Malifaux tournaments I've done this year.
That's true.
And, you know, I travel all over the country to play Malifaux. You know, this year I went to Adepticon. But went down to Wales to play tournaments, go up to York on a regular basis to play in events, went down south to Bournemouth to play.
You do a lot of travelling
events
for the events.
Yeah. But so it's not that I fell out of love with competitive gaming. I think I fell out of love with Warhammer competitive gaming. And I think I've sort of looked at this and I thought about it, and it's not the people who were going, you know, who were going to those competitive events, because, you know, I was still going to the Sheffield Slaughter, And I was still having a load of fun playing in those things and going to things like Tim's Mansfield Mall.
Yep.
I don't know if it's still called the Mansfield Mall. I know it's running. I don't know if it's called the Mansfield Mall or just the mall.
I think it's just called the mall, yeah. I mean, I used to go to Whoops Apocalypse in Birmingham.
I still get to see, it was the whole
arms race.
No, it wasn't even the arms race because I didn't actually care about that. It was the let's try and we know how to make it a better game. And the whole, for me, it was the whole comp thing to try and balance out what was perceived imbalances, which are probably there, that I just didn't care about because all I wanted to do was put toy soldiers on the table and go, rah!
I can see that completely. I think I got fed up with the fact that you could never, because of the release cycle that GW had, you could never ever have an even playing field in terms of the army books. And irrespective of the comp, you could never have a perfect comp system to try and cater for that. And I think I'd honestly got bored of it. I missed the people, you know, the likes of Steve Halliwell, Marcus, Bob, all those guys, you know, all those sorts of guys that you used to have a good laugh with, AD McWalter, the Sheffield guys. I miss the people, and I think that I will reconnect with them, and I still stay in touch with them, you know, off and on with via Twitter or Facebook or whatever. But I didn't want to play the game anymore. I'd had enough of it. But I didn't, as I said, you know, you've put so much into it that you can't not still be invested in it in some way, shape or form. So hence the interest in the 9th edition that we were talking about, hence still wanting to be involved in some way, shape or form with mass battle tabletop games, you know?
Yeah. So what would it take to get you interested in War Machine again, do you think?
I think that's a subject for another. I'm not interested in it because War Machine.
Yeah, I realised as I said that was making it. Conrad hates War Machine. Exclusive.
The brilliant thing about War Machine is they're always. I find it to be a puzzle game. So your puzzle is how to make something work, and it won't work with every opponent in terms of their faction makeup. But one of the things that I get satisfaction out of in the game is making a sub quality or suboptimal caster or warlock work. I'm playing War Machine, so it's always going to be a caster. So using stuff that you don't normally see. So you know you're not using the epic Haleys or epic Canes. Yes.
I would argue that you just, you know, you were just complaining about balance in Warhammer and that you could never have a level playing field. And now you're saying, oh, well, I like to play with the suboptimal bits.
I want to play.
But I'm not going to mention that.
There is an imbalance in the game as far as I'm concerned, you know. There is a rock, paper, scissors element to the game where certain casters or certain force makeups against another faction will not necessarily work out favourably for one of them. There is definitely that in the game. But there's always a chance of winning a game.
Right.
But, it's not necessarily a balance, you know, it's not perfect, it's not the perfect game system. The rule set is very, very good though. And they're obviously continuously changing it with the release of new stuff, et cetera, but that's where my interest comes into it, is being able to use stuff that I'm invested in from a fluff point of view, a look point of view. I've got a link to that particular character or unit or feel. I feel something for that figure, even though it's not real, really. That's where I don't want to go down the road where you're playing the same sort of stuff.
Right.
You know, I want to be able to play. I've bought stuff. I want to be able to play it. Or play with it, even. But, as I said, another podcast.
Okay. Well, shall we go?
Yes.
And then we can come back and talk another time.
Okay. Until then.
So, well, I was just going to say, I'm not even sure that we had a topic other than a 25-minute ramble about stuff.
About mass tabletop games.
Well, vaguely.
Yeah.
Sort of. All right, then. I've been Mike.
I've been Conrad.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're @fools_daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.